It's time for the Orlando Lions Den podcast with your hosts, JJ, Eddie, Cleon, and Alex Brown.
Hit on Urso. Urso. Advantage called. Laid out wide. Orlando City looking to get within one. Akindele with a touch. Brought down. This is Vandervater shooting, and he scores. Vandervater with his first MLS goal, and suddenly it's a one-goal match. Edwards hobbling moments ago. Beaten here by Michel. Benji Michel works it across. Akindele lays it off. Oh, Vandervater with a big miss. That is all. The Red Bulls hold on, and they defeat Orlando City by the final of 2-1.
I'm from New Jersey. I don't expect too much. If the world ended today, I would adjust. I'm from New Jersey. No, I don't talk that way. I watch too much TV.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of Orlando Lions Den podcast. Your boy's back. Got some energy today. Ready to talk about all the fun stuff we got to talk about. We are seven games into this wonderful, beautiful season. Got two of my good friends with me here. Let's start with old Tony Edward. Eddie the Commish. How's it going, my guy?
Oh, man, the man of many names. It's going good. I'm a little bit in a better mood than I was the day of the match. But, you know, I'm excited to be here. We got a lot to talk about. And excited to be back on the show and have you back, giving me some energy.
Yeah, we took that fat L, first one of the season.
Yeah.
It wasn't very pretty.
No.
But Cleon shaking his head. How you doing, my guy? What's going on?
Man, I'm all good considering. It's been, had a little bad start to the weekend, but it turned up since then. You know, all good, man. Ready to rock and roll tonight.
Send it. That's how we do it. Let's get into the sponsors. We'll roll through those. Start with Leo and Accurate Mortgage Group. You all know, had AMG Lenders, had Loans by Leo. If you want to hit up him on Twitter, give him a call. If you guys have any questions about purchasing a house, buying a loan, don't get gypped. You could save $500,000, $2,000, $3,000. You never know. Just give him a call. I know I saved good money when I bought my home. Eddie, how you doing, man? Give us some sponsors.
I'm doing good. We got our Field Turf, the parent company, Tarquette. They're based in France. They do most of the pitches for the big clubs. And congrats to their client, Chelsea, on winning the Champions League. Two Tarquette customers face each other in the final, and Chelsea won. So it's cool seeing our sponsor on the international stage there, the Champions League champions. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, we love Field Turf. I feel like I'm missing somebody now.
Yeah, Tuga Landscaping.
Oh, yeah, Tuga Landscaping. JJ, yeah. He's out of here.
Man.
We miss JJ, too. He's got some family stuff going on.
Yeah, Alex is traveling.
Yep, Riders traveling. He'll be back in town tomorrow. But, yep, Tuga Landscaping, if you guys need help cutting that grass, commercial, residential, whatever you guys need, give JJ a call, hit him up on DMs, hit the podcast account, whatever you need to do if you're interested in getting some quotes on that. All right. I think that's it. Going to our Red Bull match review. I'll be honest. I didn't get to watch the full 90. I was 42 miles off the coast of Key West, halfway to the Dry Tortugas in a single engine center console boat. It was flat glass, but I did come back and watch the 15 minutes of the 15 minutes on MLS, and I got to tell you, it was the passing ratio for Orlando City on the 15 minute game that they showed. It was probably about 30%. I mean, every single little mini clip that they showed was somebody, one of our guys losing, just passing it directly to a Red Bull guy. I mean, it was looked like we were just getting attacked. Vandervater came in, made a little bit of a difference. Scored that really a great goal. And then Carlos Rivas'd it up into the sky. That was painful. Tried to get the brace right foot and left foot, but he just missed out. That would have been epic. He would have etched that S in the Orlando City lore, I think, if he would have done that. Eddie, tell me how you feel about that match. Give us your input.
Well, that match is interesting because, I mean, we're going to lose at some point. MLS is hard to win on the road, right? We haven't shown great against the press in Orlando City history, really, to be honest, right? We had some moments maybe in MLS back last year, but against DC, it's arguable that we could have lost that game, right? We had some moments where we lost the ball in bad places. That came back and bit us in the butt against Red Bulls. They were more clinical. I think their game plan was better than DC was. So they were able to capitalize and turn that into goals. They've been playing that style of like they're on 20 Red Bulls for since Red Bull bought them, right? Since they bought the Metro Stars or whatever. So they're well drilled in that and it showed. So the lineup was interesting. You know, once the lineup card came out, do you guys remember those days when we would just see if Christ or Jason or JOC were not going to put seven defensive midfielders in, right? We were just hoping we saw like two wingers or something. It kind of reminded me of one of those, right? Where we had again, Andres Perea, who turns into the guy who replaces Mauricio Pereira often. But when Mauricio's there and he's there and there's a double pivot or two midfielders, it seems to be disjointed. We saw something similar against Miami last year when we lost to them. It was just like a mess when Pereira and Urso and Mendes are kind of like in a similar area. It just doesn't work. And New York really capitalized on that. And it's a bad game plan. I felt like it was going to be a loss. You know, I don't know. I felt pessimistic when the lineup card came out, and it proved to be correct. I think we deserved the loss. Vanderwater did, he went from Vander Baller to Vander Wando on that one, just completely bricked it, skied it. You know, he could have hit the Chrysler Building. He hit it so high. And that could have been a draw for us, but I would have felt like we stole 2 points. Like we did not deserve that at all. And it was disjointed. And, you know, I love Oscar, and call me an Oscar apologist if you want, but I think this L is a little bit on him on this one. I don't think we went about it the right way this time. I got more to say about that, but I'll let you go, Cleon. Huh?
That seemed to be the general consensus from most people was that, the lineup was underwhelming, and Oscar, this one might have been on him. Cleon, what do you think?
No, this one, I said it, and people can vouch for that. I literally said, as soon as I saw the lineup, said, this is a loss. This is a loss, 100%. And I've done things like that before where I'm just pessimistic, but I hadn't done that this season, not one time. That's true. This one here, mm-mm. This had loss written from the time you saw that, that lineup announced. And, It was terrible, man. That was terrible. That was Christ JOC. I can't even remember which one of them used to do it more with the defensive midfielders, bro. But
tomato.
It's just too many. It was too many of them in there. We were already a team that was struggling to score. So I mean, throwing in another defensive midfielder. I mean, and then Mauricio. I mean, he's a 10, yeah, but I mean, he's more of a kind of an 8-10. You know what I mean? So I mean, in a way, you basically rolled out there with four center midfielders. And that's just not going to work, man. I mean, Chris hasn't had his shooting boots on, literally, even for attempting shots all season. So, I mean, shoot, he might as well be a defensive midfielder at this point, too. Because, I mean, he's not shooting. I mean, he's not. And, I mean, I love him, but, I mean, he ain't shooting. So, I mean, you might as well have rolled five of them out there. So, I mean – that was it, bro. That was terrible. That was the first, I would say that's probably the first terrible game I've seen from an Oscar Perea coach team in Orlando City.
And you don't think that Miami loss at Miami?
Oh, I forgot about that one. I blocked that one out.
That one's bad. The playoff loss.
You know what,
bad.
Though?
When we lose pretty ugly. I think he's lost four times.
You know what?
Kind of the MLS is back final.
I would say even that loss, even that Miami one, I would say this is the worst one, bro. Yeah. Not as far as just like that Miami one. Maybe I'm misremembering, but I mean we just made some mistakes and stuff, whatever. But this one was almost punted from the get go, bro.
Yeah,
it was just it was not good, bad first sub too, to top it off. Mm-mm.
That first up being taking off Mauricio Pareda for bringing in Benji. He said he wanted to threaten the back line and counter, threaten with diagonals and runs behind. But Benji this year, I don't know if we got a new sponsor or something, but I don't know what boots he's wearing, man, because they look like Timberlands out there. Because that touch,
I mean, mind you,
is heavy,
mind
man.
Mind you, Benji, he turned it up. He turned it up late in that game, and he was a big reason. But I mean, that was just bad. That was just bad all around. Like that was not the sub to bring in. Maybe Mauricio was hurt and something. I don't know. Maybe he had to come out.
Yeah,
but oh. That was terrible.
I don't understand how Benji's first off over Vandervater, even after the last performance. I'd let him
for me it's not even that if Benji was first on or off. It was the Mauricio out for Benji. If Benji would have been first in, and maybe you're changing some, trying something different up top, whatever. You know what I mean? So I'm not even necessarily against that it was Benji, but for the way the team was, what we were doing, and then I don't know, man. That was bad.
Oscar said he wanted to send Benji in behind the back line. It's not a good strategy to take out probably the only guy that's going to actually send him the ball.
Exactly.
What he said was that the Mauricio this week, they're kind of limited him a little bit. They're monitoring his minutes, so I think it was a load management thing. And Benji was more central, at least until Vandervater came in. He was more central, so it wasn't so much to bring in a wide player. So, but I want to talk a little bit about tactics in the game. So just to kind of, you know, recap what the lineup was, it was some sort of 3-4-5 in the back, depending, right? If formations, whatever you set up or put on the intern puts up on the screen, doesn't really matter. These things are fluid, right? What you saw was Kyle Smith on the left, right? And Kyle Smith was the stay-home defender, stay-home fullback. Kyle Smith did not go up, right, by design. This is not a knock on Kyle. Kyle had another game where he, you know, acquitted himself fine. But Michael Halladay, he got his first start, just graduated high school the other day, 18 years old, I believe. Got his first professional start. He's very fast. He's kind of a lanky guy. And then he was high up. He might have been the highest guy up at times. So we were to keep some solidity in the back, we kept Kyle Smith back there. Now, what happened then is that since we had so many defensive midfielders and midfielders overall, we didn't have any wingers on the right. So what Urso would do is when Halladay would go up, he was like the de facto winger. He was like a wing back. And Urso would stretch out wide to go cover up that space, or Perea. Perea's been a guy, I thought this year he's been a little bit more bold with passing. He's been developing. I thought this might have been his worst game. Like, he had no imprint. I don't know where he was. He was just running around. I didn't know what the point of him was in this match, you know? And then Urso worked hard. Urso was getting behind and all that. And he worked hard. He didn't do anything wrong. Mendes was a little sloppy in passing. But if you look at the way they attacked us, because Urso was so stretched out, Mendes was isolated in the midfield by himself because Perea was either up higher or Mauricio was dropping deep, but it wasn't a double pivot. And Mendes was getting people running at him like crazy, and Mendes had to go to the left to cover for the one winger we had, which was Chris Mueller, who was sort of playing a wing back role, but sort of playing up high too. It was just disjointed. It doesn't sound like it makes sense, right? But that's what it looked like. Am I right, Cleon? Right. It was like Mueller was high, Halladay was high, and Perea was everywhere. And then if you look at from the kickoff, the Red Bulls attack down to right. Anytime Mueller came up, they double teamed him and they would attack. And Kyle Smith and Mendes were just getting stuff running at them the whole time, right? And then that was stretching us out, and they were going to the middle, etc. Then they got a goal because they sent a bunch of crosses in. When they would get behind on the right and stuff, they would now stretch us wide and they would send crosses in because they had two strikers. Red Bulls played a diamond formation. So they were clogging that midfield, and it wasn't a narrow diamond. It was a wide diamond. And Caden Clark was on the right side. He was everywhere. And they were sending crosses in, and eventually a cross came through. And Carlos, I guess, thought Halladay had it, and Halladay fell asleep. And Caden Clark came in and just tapped it in. And that was the first goal. At that point, we're down a goal. This setup was to hang on you know, maybe get a draw on the road kind of thing, which is, you know, lacks aggression from the beginning. But in order to do that, we talked about Chelsea earlier, you can set up with 3-4-5 in the back, but you have to be clinical when you finish. All the defensive coaches, the guys who coach grit and defense and being solid in the back, they have clinical finishing to offset at the Mourinho teams, the Tuchel teams, whatever. That's the idea. When you have Chris Mueller, who hasn't attempted a shot in what, 5 games, I think, not a shot, like forget a shot on goal. I don't think he hasn't had a shot on goal all season yet. Just a shot. He hasn't taken a shot. I've checked at least the last 3 or 4 games, not even a shot. And then Tesho, who should have had 2 assists at the end, but I mean, he had 1 decent shot, but once he got on his left foot, did anybody think he was going to make that? He hit it right at the goalie. That was his only chance. So my point is, if you got Mueller, who's got a case of the yips right now, Tesho, who's not a clinical finisher, then setting up this defensively, which requires clinical finishing, just doesn't really make that much sense, right? Especially with a team like the Red Bulls who had a makeshift back line, you know, had an 18-year-old at fullback themselves, who I think was the better 18-year-old. And then they had they were on their third or fourth center back, somebody out of position. So to me, we should have attacked that. I understand the travel, the road and all that, but this to me was a team where we should have attacked their back line a little more, taking a chance, you know, and I'd rather try to get up early and then park it than they kind of start this way. So that's how I saw it.
Yeah. It was way too defensive for me. You know what? It's like we set up trying to be defensive, but then we also put like then you're also trying to start a 18-year-old kid who's never even played at right back. And it did end up costing a goal because he is the one that lost his man. So, I mean, I just don't understand. That's one of my pet peeves, me personally, like as a fan. Like when you come into a game, it's not like we just coming in trying to face Seattle, bro. Like you're talking about the Red Bulls. They were sitting in ninth at the time or something like that. Like what are we scared of playing the Red Bulls? Like yeah. we should have came out for their neck, like off the jump. I don't care if Nani wasn't there. Like you should have came for their neck right off the jump. Like why are we playing like this? I don't like when we come out to teams that are not as good as us and we're coming out trying to play down to these teams' level. And okay, now's the time to throw in Mikey Halliday or this person or that. Like if I'm going to put in Mikey Halliday for his first ever start, or Jordan Bender, or like any of these guys, or David Larea, or anybody, I'm going to throw these guys in when I legit have my entire full roster. Every other position has its A1 player at its position, and maybe then you can sit there coming in. But when you're coming in already a little bit down in men and positions, and then want to throw in this kid as well on top of that. And this ain't a knock to Mikey. Like he did exactly what you would expect. I mean, he did pretty decent for most of the time that he was out there considering. True. I agree. But I mean, for a game like that, where you're already down, that's not the time. That's just not the time, bro.
Do you think we're playing down to them or we're scared of them? Or do you think we were like, we got this, we don't need to have our best 11?
I don't think so. I don't think it was even something like that. I just think he just came out with that defensive with almost like we were coming in trying to, I don't even know if I can say he was planning for like a Poppy special or just trying to hold zeros or coming in trying to play for a draw or whatever. Cause I mean, I just don't get it. Like the midfield, especially with Chris not being Chris, Nani's not there. Chris isn't Chris. If Mauricio did come in with a little hammy but I'm sorry to put that out there. With some type of whatever you want to call it. If he's coming in a little banged, like why are we throwing Andres out there with this mix? Like that's just a bad mix of players, bro. Like what? I don't get it. Like to throw Andres in there to have Halliday in there. Like when we're already down Jao, we're already down Ted, we're already down Juan, we already down Nani. Like and Chris, you might as well say you're down Chris because Chris isn't even shooting. So I can't even call that the yips because you got to shoot and miss to have the yips. Dom Dwyer, Carlos Rivas, they had the yips. Like he's not even shooting. So I don't know what's going on there. So, I mean, it was just not the time. It was just not the time for that lineup.
And to give some context, like, you know, obviously Oscar sees Andrés Pereira more as a 8-10-2 in a way, sort of, right? Sees him more attacking higher up. Sometimes he's almost like the second striker in certain motions or plays, and he presses up high. So he's not like a six or anything like that. At least Oscar doesn't use him that way. And the Red Bulls were packing four midfielders. It looked like midfield for midfield diamond, but instead they had two strikers, and we had a solo striker and Tesho, and then Mueller just kind of in limbo, you know, in this kind of wingbackish sort of role. So
yeah, it was he was definitely playing wing back.
Yeah, the wing back, but I mean they asked a lot of him. He have a great game? No, but he they're asking a ton of him, and he was getting double teamed, and there's nobody on offense that they're scared of when we just have Tesho out there and no other winger, you know. It would the whiff was entirely from Mueller and Halliday, and if Mueller cut inside, there was literally nobody around him. And they knew that. They saw that. They just blitzed him, and he's not in a great form. He's losing the ball. He's back to taking too long, making decisions and stuff like that, you know? So it was just not. But also, just get a little context to the Mikey Halliday. Part of it was just necessity. I mean, Juan is out. Joao played, but he wasn't 90 minutes fit. They're keeping an eye on him. I think he probably came back sooner because of injuries, because Juan got hurt against New York. And then Schlegel had something of a family related event that kept him from traveling. So Mikey Halliday wasn't like, you know, this is more of a circumstance thing, right? So nothing to knock the kid or anything like that, but it was more of a circumstance as to why he played. Poppy didn't, I don't think if everyone's fit, Mikey's seeing the pitch, you know, especially not at the start.
Yeah, which is fine. But like I said, Don't also handicap yourself at another position. On top of that, like if Halliday has to be played, which is fine, it happens. If he has to be played, like I said, at least stack up your other spots. Like I just don't get it. This is the first time one of the few times where something's gone out, and I just do not get what he was trying to do as far as Oscar. Mm-hmm. And I love Oscar, but I think he got this one wrong.
Circling back to Champions League. He got a little too cute with it, just like Pep Guardiola, Man City. I'm not even a Chelsea fan, but you know, their lineup, they changed. People started who didn't normally start, right? It just didn't work. It didn't work for us against Red Bulls either.
Yeah. Eddie Studs and Duds. I don't have a dud because I don't want to call anybody a dud. And I only watched some MLS in 15. That seems unfair. But, I mean, Mikey Halliday obviously gave the goal, but that seems unfair too. So I guess my dud would probably be Poppy, just because I agree with pretty much everything you guys are saying. But it happens. We have a dud every week. Poppy's this is one of his first. Like I said, we've only lost like four times since MLS is back final. And I think three of those four times were pretty, like I said, you had the playoff loss in Miami, lost this. So. When we lose, it's ugly. When we win, it's ugly. I mean, what do we expect? We expect to win ugly and then lose pretty? I don't think when we win ugly, we're going to probably lose uglier. That's just, I mean, I'm not a math guy. I kind of am, but still. My stud is got to be Sylvester Vanderwater again. Vanderwater, I mean, the guy's a beast. I've been on him in his hype train, since before he was even gotten his minutes. I hope he starts to get consistent starts. With him and DK, those two guys, I think you guys would, a lot of people are going to be like, oh, if Nani gets a suspension or something, be like, we got VD Dub and DK. We don't need nobody else. Mauricio there too. So I'm excited about that. Cleon, studs and duds?
For me, stud, it would have to be Vandervater. Definitely. That's probably about it, honestly. Duds. Early in the game, as far as early, like up to about the 70th minute or so, I would say it was probably going to be Benji. And not necessarily even just on this game, but he's just been a little down so far this year. But he turned it around. He turned it around late to take him out of that dud category to me. My dud is actually going to have to be the guy that was been our absolute beast stud all season long. I would say Sebas. This was way below his current form. for him. So I would expect a rebound out of him, is, you know, as long as we get all these extra midfielders out of here. Everything, everybody's just in each other's way. Everybody likes to occupy the same spots on the field. It's just, that's just a bad mix of players to me. So it might be due to circumstance, but I'd have to give it to Sebas for this particular game. And Poppy, like you said, 100%. I love you, Poppy, but this was not it.
I agree.
Yeah, the studs, Vander Vatter, I mean, he could have tied it, but that goal was nice. And look, shout out to Tesho. He should have had two assists. Benji got behind, yeah, and caused problems for you know, for the second one. And then Kyle Smith, shout out for a beautiful ball to Tesho, who put it down to Vander Vatter for that goal. So shout out for Kyle, too. He had a lot on his plate, and I thought he did fine for the most part, you know. Everybody turned the ball around. Everybody turned the ball, you know, over. Everybody got pressured, you know. But Mendes had a lot on his plate. I thought he was just kind of left alone in the midfield. But this whenever we play this kind of three defensive mids or whatever, Pereira, Urso, and him together with Mauricio, it just doesn't work, man. It just doesn't work. And his worst match last year was against Miami. That's the famous back heel to nobody kind of thing, you know, back heel through ball to Miami. So it doesn't work. And I think Mueller, I thought he, I mean, it's a little hard. I feel bad being hard on him because,
oh my God,
the dude was isolated, but like, I know you're trying to make things happen, but at this point, I think it'll serve him well to sit because he's pressing a little bit. He's pressing too hard to get something done, and he's making the wrong decisions. So I'm going to say my duds, Mueller and Poppy. And those, right, both of them hurt my heart to say, because I love both of them, man. I mean, I just really like everything of what they're both about. But and my stud, Vander Vatter, and you know, Pedro kept us in it early too. Can't forget that. I mean, we should have been down 1-0 from the get. So
yeah. I don't know how I forgot Chris when I was bringing up them duds, bro.
Yeah,
I guess he's been kind of ghost. So I forgot him here too.
Super, yeah, ghost. Yeah, yeah, that is true. All right, let's talk a little bit about, we're not going to skip, we're going to go back to the other one, but let's talk about Mikey Holiday, the debut. We were already talking about it. Obviously the debate about playing the kids. I kind of agree with Cleon that I don't know if, I mean, he didn't even have minutes with us, and this was like the first minutes he just started. So I think it, like Cleon said, it was just a stuck between a rock between and a hard place type of deal. What do y'all think about playing your kids? We got this new OCB, maybe team coming in, as far, I don't know what they're going to call them, but we're definitely going to have some sort of team. Assuming it'll be OCB again. We have that new league that was announced today. How do y'all feel about playing the kids? Where's the benefits? What's the negatives? Cleon, you want to start us off?
I'm not a big, huge play the kids type of dude. Unless they're good kids. You know what I mean? I'm not just gonna play kids just to play kids. Like I'm here to win games, bro. That's what I go to the game to see. If the kid's gonna be, if he's gonna come in like Kyle Aaron did, like Daryl DK did, and mind you, these guys came from college and everything, but if you're gonna come in like even Benji did, and you get on that pitch because you're one of the best 11 to 18, I'm all for it. Andres Pereira, he came in last year. I know he's not a DA guy, but you know, 19, how old was he? 19 before he, yeah, got here.
Mm-hmm.
He deserved to be there. So I'm with that. I have no issues with kids like that, but just I'm not a guy that's here for just play the kids just to be playing them. You know what I mean? I'm not a big US men's national team stan, so I don't care about promoting them. I'm here for Orlando City. I said it before, I'm a selfish fan. I only care about my team. That's it. That even extends to the national team, whatever else. I just don't care. I just don't care. I only care about who's going to get my team, Orlando City, to win games, win trophies, and that's it. And that's it, bro. Like I'm not here for it. We do need to do something and to get these kids in. Like you know, Mason Stoudemire. I mean, Stoudemire, I'm sorry. I was looking at my bro. I was recently looking at my old high school. I played basketball for Cypress Creek, and I was talking with one of my friends, one of my ex teammates. We were talking about Amari if he had broke his scoring, thing. He's like, no, he's only there 1 year. So it was Stoudemire was on my brain. Yeah. So Mason. So you know, guys like Mason, who we signed in, I can't even remember at this point, 2016. Never played the kid at all. I know he had the health thing brought up before, but never played him there. He's probably stagnated. Nobody even knows if he's good or not. I see that same thing kind of happening with Larea right now. I do want to play the kids. I just don't want to play them for the first team unless they're, like I said, they're good enough for the first team. Wilfredo Rivera, guys like that, they need to be playing. I feel like they need to get this USL thing. They need to get it right. I'm sorry, not US. It's not going to be USL, but this OCB thing, it needs to get corrected. It needs to get done right. And that's what this is for. They need to get this together, because guys like Larea, like what's going on? What's going on? Are we signing kids just to be signing them or what? Cause I mean, and I it's not like I'm saying they need to throw them into the 18 or the 11 of you know, MLS. But he should be playing somewhere. Like, why didn't we try to loan him out? Like, when's the last time the kid had a game, bro? You know what I mean? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, he played a few minutes for us last year, but that's like, what, like 5, 10?
Literally, about that.
That's frustrating, too, as a player. I mean, that can't give you any good morale.
Yeah, we need these guys. We need to get these guys going. Like, I don't think they're ready to be playing up at this level. I don't think at any point they were. But – they need to be playing. They need to get minutes. Kids are not going to get any better just sitting around practice. I mean, I guess they will get a little better practicing against, you know, Nani and guys like that. But I mean, at some point you got to play actual games. You got to be able to get out there when these lights come on and that scoreboard's for real. Yeah. And you know what I mean? And in front of a crowd, even something as slight as that, like being able to perform under pressure and under the noise of a crowd and things like that. Like, it can't just all be practice. You know what I mean? Yep. So they need to get something going. And this OCB thing, they need to get this right, man. They really need to get it right. And I mean, I'm talking about just not, they need to get this right. They need to put money into it. They need to put the proper players on the team as well. Like, I don't understand what we've even been doing the last few years with this thing. I don't know what's going on. You know, we bringing in the national kids in, bringing in national kids that you think are good enough for your first team, even if they're right at the cusp. Like somebody like Andres, who we brought in last year. Like if we would have had, let's say he didn't get onto the squad, like that's, those are the types of players that should be playing there and getting minutes against good competition. And we just really need to get this together. They need to get together, put money in it. Get a crowd. If you're going to play at Osceola County Stadium, promote the team. Promote the team. Get fans there. Like, because it's not just about them going there and playing minutes like scrimmages. Like I said, they need to play under pressure, they need to play in front of fans, under pressure and things like that. It's all part of the game. So for me, yes, play the kids, but not necessarily on the first team, but you need to get them playing somewhere.
Yeah, that's what MLS is trying to go for. I think more of like a Major League Baseball approach, where they were saying, I think the Athletic was saying, right, that it wasn't U23. It's not going to be like an age really restricted team for these MLS teams. So, you know, you'll be able to throw, you know, some people down there that maybe are coming off of injury or just wanting to get some minutes like that. So that'll be interesting. Eddie, what do you think about the whole situation?
Yeah, I got a lot to say on this one, so you guys get buckle up here. But first of all, you're absolutely right about what MLS is intending. They don't have a name for it. Athletic reporting says that they're in the final stages for it. They said this already. They said last year when teams pulled out of USL League One and et cetera, that there was going to be something to connect the MLS next, which is, or MLS's attempt to take over what was the USA or DA or whatever academy system, to connect it to the first team. Because right now it's disjointed. It's MLS next and then what, right after that. So it's not going to be just age specific U23. There aren't going to be these certain requirements like you see now with the U23 where they're playing in the beer league or whatever. And then they said in the article states that they're going to let teams use it how they deem fit. So if they need to get some people minutes because they're hurt and bring them back up to fitness, or they want to internationals, or they want to play the kids, et cetera. But the point of it is to have some kind of pathway. Also, too, they want to use it to try stuff. You know, MLS has been ahead of the curve with the whole little spray for free kicks and concussions and stuff like that. So that's very much like baseball. They do that in baseball. They put a clock and extra inning rules, et cetera. So that's fun. MLS has been on the forefront of changes that you've seen in international soccer. So I think that's cool. But I think a genuine pathway is great, because I could tell you firsthand, I've spoken to players, and it's something they see. They know Orlando City's reputation from a bottom to the top pathway hasn't been great this whole time. It hasn't from day one. Okay. I don't know if some people realize this. There's a lot of marketing when it comes to this kind of stuff. I almost feel like some of these homegrowns were an effort to show we're signing homegrowns, right? But for years, some of these people were not spoken to. Oscar, when Muzy came in, he said David Larea, they didn't speak to him for a couple of years, reach out to him. You know, Benji was out in the wilderness before he came here and asked Cleon. There's been a lot of players who have gone to college, gone to other teams. There's the kid who went to Inter Miami, who's getting minutes, 17, Edison or something, Dominican kid. We haven't had this flawless system. We have never had anything really fully competent. We've changed academy directors. We changed where it's been, how it's been run, why it's been run a certain way all the time. And it's almost always been financial decisions. And from the beginning, with Heath and all that, they didn't really care about it. They just bought a bunch of other clubs in the town and got players. Larea was here for a year. Benji was here for a year. The only real success story we have is Benji from the academy, who's actually played there and has contributed in MLS. And he really cut his teeth 1 year with Orlando City. And guess what? He didn't want to stay. He went to SEMA. He went to University of Portland, and he got better there. Other players who are now homegrowns, they left, they came back. It's a little more complicated than people want to hear. Okay, so it's something we need to get fixed. Oscar, right now, FC Dallas is a feeder for Bayern Munich. That's the house Oscar built over there. Okay, so why, when you have Oscar Pardell, why do you hire someone like that and Muzy, who worked in that, and then don't fund it, don't finance it? Even the move, the most probably successful, at least winning wise, might have been when MVA, Mount Verde and SEMA, the whole thing, they're running it out there. The academy was flying, they're winning, they got to finals, all kinds of stuff. And most of these expenses were outsourced. There was a lot already at the facility that was taking the brunt of the cost, and the promises and the finances that were expected really didn't come to fruition. So then that was kneecapped, because there wasn't unity from the top down. That was something Flavio wanted that not everybody was on board, and it got kneecapped essentially. And then we were reset backwards. So what do? We do another OCB, right? We go back, we make another OCB, and then we bring a bunch of internationals. We have no plans on keeping them more than a year. Those internationals stop committing. And you can see that the team gave up last year. You can see it. If you watch it, you can see it. And what were the point of these players? They were just roster bodies, like a training camp and football, right? So what was the plan? What was the vision? What do you expect kids to buy into that? How do you expect kids to buy into that? So what we need to do is we need to forget about profitability and all this stuff. This whole idea of profitability, you're seeing some clubs, you know, who were good get ruined because of it, like AS Monaco. Monaco was a club that had some talent, but then every time they get someone good, they sell it to make profit. Most clubs, Barcelona, Madrid, most clubs do not make profit. Soccer is not a sport where you just go make profit. In the U.S. and the MLS system, you can make some profit with the U.S. national team and all these different marketing ventures they have. But OCB, the academy, is not a place where you got to look for profit. You have to view it as part of the big picture, part of the brand, part of a long pitcher in a salary cap league where you could get a DP level player like Daryl DK on $150,000. That is the golden salary cap. That's like the Seahawks getting Russell Wilson on a rookie contract and going to the Super Bowl twice on a rookie deal. You know, that's how you win in MLS. But that's how they have to see it. So it's not about making money off OCB. The thing that one of the things that has me the most excited about the Wilfs is this idea that we don't have to make decisions based on finances anymore. It doesn't mean they're going to be dumb or wasteful, but if you're going to build, you're going to build an academy. Atlanta, as much as we hate them, we don't really hate Art Blank because he invested in the academy. But guess what? Here's the other side of the coin. The whole play the kids thing. This city, Orlando City's fan base has been obsessed with that a little bit because they knew that the only way we're going to buy someone is if we sell someone. The Wilfs, if they go Kroenke or whatever, it's because they feel like it. You know, if they want to. They have the money where we can go buy players like Atlanta does. Atlanta won the title without squat from their academy. LAFC won the Shield without squat from their academy. Seattle has some players, but some of these teams, you know, Minnesota's done well. Adrian Heath, Caden Clark was admitted from Minnesota. They had no place to put him. The Red Bulls scooped him up. They still done fine. So I want to be in a position where it's smart to build the academy, but it's not a necessity to win. It's not a necessity to buy players. It's not a necessity to bring in talent. Because right now, well, what set us backwards is we people are like, why don't we play these kids? Because none of these kids are Caden Clark. None of these kids are like the kid from San Jose. None of these kids are sitting there on the precipice that are doing so well in training that they really deserve to be in the 11 or the 18. And how long have we had this academy? It's tough to say that, right? So we don't have this superstar kid coming up. Our best players came from college, right? So it is what it is. We don't have the academy. We haven't paid enough attention to it or OCB in order to produce talent. So we brought talent elsewhere, which, like Cleon says, I don't care. I'm fine with that. If every year we bring in 18 brand new players and we lift the trophy every year, I promise you, I don't really care. I am pro mercenary. Most of the big clubs in the world have one academy kid who does well. The Spurs, Kane, Foden for Man City, Mason Mount for Chelsea, and who else? Anybody else? Nope. They all bought them all. They got them from somewhere else. We don't need to have 10 homegrowns. Who cares? But right now, because of the talent level of our youth, we don't need the upside of playing them is just not worth it. People feel like, well, where are we going to develop these kids? Develop what? I don't think we have anyone who's a guaranteed star or starting 11. Am I wrong for saying that, Cleon? What do you think? Am I wrong to say that? No. Why are we going to sit down Kyle Smith, Juan, or Urso, or whatever, or Mauricio to give Bender or Michael Holiday or Lorea minutes when what are they? Maybe we hope they turn out like Kyle Smith did, where he's a role player who's made himself a good player, right? That's probably the best outcome we could see from any of these guys. And that's just what it is. If they were better, they'd be talked about. They'd be Caden Clark. They'd be getting calls up like the Aronson kids, you know, stuff. They're just not McKenzie, Aronson. They're not that. Justin Che. We don't have that. We haven't worked for it. We haven't made that happen. It is what it is. And Halliday, they put a lot of pressure on him. 42 touches in 60 minutes. I mean, he was tasked to be the whiff. He had a lot on his plate. And in the kid, what he lacked was sharpness. But sharpness from how are you going to get sharpness if you don't get any minutes? Like, what are you going to, you know? Yeah, he fell asleep. He was late to track back and stuff. I mean, he just wasn't sharp. You don't have minutes. It's not, what are you going to crush the kid for? First match ever, road match against the Red Bulls in that press and everything. I mean, you know, we don't need to rip Mikey Haraday for that. But that's why I'm glad to hear we're going to be involved in this next OCB 3.0 plan. And hopefully 3.0, we get it right. This is, you know, this is version where we need to have a strategic vision to make this permanent, to be an actual part of the pyramid and attract players, because players, I can tell you now, have left. Players have been discouraged because there was not a clear pathway. It's a fact. period. That's what we've had. And having something like this MLS, whatever it's going to be called, having reliable minutes for internationals who we have a future with, because international spots aren't cheap, academy kids, homegrowns, and players who just need minutes will be perfect. And I prefer that it's not a U23 and all that. As much as praise they talk about England with the U23, one or two senior guys go down and play with them, but most clubs don't have a bunch of their youth in their starting 11. They don't. It's just a fact. They don't. It's not a reliable source of starters. It really isn't. Okay. So it doesn't mean you don't invest in it, but what it needs to be used for is everything: homegrowns, internationals, injuries, and minutes for people you think can be worth it for you. And in salary cap league, you have to explore every single angle, but I'm looking forward to having owners where we don't have to get something out of an academy which has nothing that great so far, hasn't produced anything fantastic. Even Wilfredo came from Jacksonville Armada, went to Mount Verde, and then Orlando. Where we have to hope one of those people pan out and in order to buy someone. So, you know, Wilfs, if you're hearing this, you know, invest in the academy and buy new players, and it'll all work out. It work itself out. We have the people in place to make it work.
Even it goes further even than just throwing some money at it, because on top of that, like, it's, I think some, like, I know our people, our guys came from FC Dallas, right? And we got a bunch of these kids that are coming from that area, from the Texas area, we got a lot of Mexican Americans. You got, you're right there on the border pretty much. You got a lot of talent coming in and out of there. We're not that, man. We're not that. So I know we do, mm-hmm. but there's not. The best talent that's come through our system at any point is Benji. Mm-hmm. Is Benji. And like you said, he's technically Orlando's is.
Yeah, he's from Orlando. He's 1 year. Yeah, he was already good when he joined the academy. We didn't build Benji. It's just not the way it happened.
I mean, yeah, everybody knows. I mean, he went there, and then, you know, he also went to Mount Verde, and then he got better. And then he went to Portland, and he got even better. Mm-hmm. So by the time we brought him in, he's good to go. I don't think we need to be so married to the idea of all the kids need to come from Orlando or this or whatever. You're limiting your pool. None of these big clubs do that, bro. Barcelona, who's got one of the most famous academies there, even a team like Benfica, shout out to JJ, even a team like Benfica, who's literally known for this. They have a whole B team full of kids. They just yank from everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Matic, so, does he sound like a Portuguese guy?
No. So that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. Like
Eric Dyer.
We don't need to be married to only these Orlando kids. Yes. Grab the best Orlando kids. Yes. Grab the best American kids. Yes. But the same things that they didn't like about, you know, we were running out of Mount Verde and, okay, you know, for example, he brought in a bunch of foreign kids as well. If they can play, they can play. So, I know there's international spots and there's all this type of stuff, but I mean, you got to do what you got to do to be the best team and to work around these rules. If you got to bring a kid, if you got to bring an 18-year-old kid in from wherever, bring him in, stick him on OCB. If the Wilfs want to throw some money at something, Throw it at some green cards. Go and recruit. Don't be married to they have to only be from Orlando just for the visual of
you
it.
For the culture.
This kid's from the backyard.
Yeah.
Yes, bring your kids from your backyard. You can't lose kids that are in your own backyard. Yes, we know that. Mm-hmm. But grab the best players from wherever you can get them. Bring them here and open up that pool. If the Wilfs want to throw money at something, throw it at OCB in green cards and let guys like Ricardo and let guys and Ricardo and Muzy, they need to be open to this themselves. Like it's a mindset thing. Don't get stuck on the idea of, oh, it has to be this way. Yeah. Do whatever you got to do to get the best kids here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, be like Barcelona, be like Benfica. And if it's a guy, if it's a guy in Africa, if it's a guy in Spain, if it's a guy in Brazil, bring him over. Bring him over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come on, Mr. Wilf. Give us X amount, give us X amount budget for green cards. If we think this kid can be ready, but we don't want to because he's an international spot.
Yeah.
Stick him in OCB. Get him a green card.
One of the best investments Arthur Blank ever made was the fact that before the guy did the ink dries on their signings, they got green cards. And it's absurd how quickly Atlanta does it somehow, right? But this idea, we had this problem when we try to change GMs. There's this culture in Orlando and this history and blah 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 blah, right? And yes, Bender's from here, Lake Mary, Halliday's from here. It'd be great stories if they make it, right? Kyle Smith isn't from here. It's a good story too. And yes, Benji's like, this is our house, and he's passionate for Orlando and he defends it. Benji to me is like Mr. Orlando. Like, this is his town. I love it. I love that about him. But can anybody tell me with a straight face that they think Antonio Carlos doesn't care about this badge or play for this badge? And you know, can anyone say that passion? Or Junior Urso, I keep purple, no red. Was he from here? Was he from Orlando? Did he go to Winter Park? Did he go to Lake Highland Prep or Oak Ridge? No. So you could still get passion and buy-in different ways. So
I mean, let's keep it real. A lot of people from Orlando aren't from Orlando. So I mean, yeah. Kids come from all over. People coming from up north and wherever else.
Yeah.
So I mean, half the people here are transplants. Anybody's stuck. Nobody's married to that. It's like it's not that big of a deal. Bring people in from wherever. Bring them in from wherever.
And we need to, because right now what we have is a man-made pond. We need to stock it with fish. And we need to bring in fish from everywhere, because it's not a natural body of water right now. We don't, you know.
Our best young players we've ever had, Kyle Larin, Darryl DK, Chris Mueller. Mm-hmm. All three of them, college. They all came from Wisconsin, Chicago, mm-hmm. wherever.
Yeah.
You got Canada and come on.
In Oklahoma. Yeah.
Get guys from wherever.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Cleon, you just said a name that is great, great, great names. But Darryl DK is back. He's coming back. We're going to use that to go on into the next segment here. We're going to talk about the first seven games, how we're feeling. We're going to talk about the next 27 games, what we're looking forward to in the future. We got Mr. DK coming back at the end of his international break. Could be back for literally our next match on June the 19th, but he could also not be here. They hinted that in the article, June 9th, the summer transfer window opens around the world. So you never know what can happen. Even in the official team release, it even left a nice little cliffhanger by saying something along the lines of, we will keep you updated on any and all things regarding this player. So what do you think about DK? What are you guys thinking about the first seven games? I know for me, I'm ecstatic. I'm happy. I'm right where we thought we were going to be. I say it every year. You want to make sure every game is the same, but you also don't want to peak early. Felt like last year we kind of peaked early, the MLS is back tournament, right? And then we kind of struggled through the end of the season. But this year I feel like we're working our way. You know what I mean? We're learning how to win still. I think we've gotten it down how not to lose as opposed to, you know, how to win. Poppy, obviously we got our first loss, but other than that, I'm ecstatic over the first seven. Schedules hasn't been the best. It's not going to get much better, but I see some dubs definitely in our future. Eddie, how are you feeling about the first seven matches?
I'm feeling good. We, you know, we have 1.71 points per match, seven matches, 12 points. It's hard to complain about that. And that puts us, you know, third in the East with a game in hand, where we could get up to second above Philly. I'm happy with that. We haven't played our best football yet. We're tough to beat. Building grit and toughness is a good thing, because that's how you win in playoff mode, and that's how you get far in this league. So we just need to figure out how to score some more goals, and we'll be flying high. We're doing good. We're third, and we haven't even really hit our stride, in my opinion. We got tons of upside, so I'm feeling good about that. So and going forward, I think you know, we got some offensive firepower coming back, and I'm leaning towards the positive. We're gonna start getting some goals. They're gonna be a stretch. We're gonna be two or three goals for a couple stretches. This isn't going to be the 1-0 fest the whole year. I don't think that. And DK, look, the clubs that are being said to tied, looking for him or interested in him, all Premier League clubs, basically, right? And maybe some German interest too. But at this point, he's proven himself with just a short spell at Championship Barnsley that he's not a championship level player. There's the Premier Leagues after him. So I would like him to go to a team that will give him a chance to develop over there, maybe learn under someone. He's still young and raw still. And I hope we see him. I think I mostly see him for about 3 matches. I hope he starts all 3 of them. And I'm looking at you, Oscar and Tesho. I hope put DK right into the 11. I know you won't, but a man could dream. I don't think we see him past that summer window, as much as I hate to say it, for Orlando City. But I'm happy for him, and I'm anxious to see what Orlando City does with that money.
Yep, I agree with that, Eddie. I don't think we'll see him pass. Cleon, what do you think? Are you personally shocked that Barnsley didn't exercise their $2 million buy option, or what?
Talk about a softball.
Me shocked? No. I mean, me shocked? No.
80 miles per hour, right down the middle.
I don't think anybody in Orlando or the U.S. for that matter, or anyone not in where they from. Is Barnsley actually
Yorkshire,
a place?
Or, I guess.
Is that a place? Is
Barnsley? I don't even know. Is what Jake told me. Yorkshire.
Is that the name of the team or is that the city name?
Barnsley. I think it's both. I think it's Barnsley on something. A lot of the cities there are on something else.
Barnsley on freaking something. That's true. Barnsley is on something. We got that figured out. They definitely got that figured out. They got special water up there in Barnsley.
Look, we have our epidemics in Appalachia and things like that. Maybe this, that's Barnsley's not Appalachia of England.
The whole power grid of England must be right in Barnsley because something's in
that's
the water.
Right. Something. That's not water. That's great. That's Grey Goose, baby.
I'm telling you, dude. Yeah.
That's Grey Goose. That ain't water, baby.
These guys literally tried to say that Barnsley, that they declined the $2 million option. It was $2 million. They declined it because DK asked for $20,000 a week, which is about $2.5 million a year, if I did my math right there. But even still, so we have offers that we've declined for $10 million, but Barnsley doesn't want to buy him for $2 million and pay him $2.5 million.
Even if you exercised it for two and then turn around and sold him for $3 million.
Yeah. They'd be like the bots that everybody fights against right now. The bots that just buy and resell things. Barnsley could literally bot it out.
Yeah. Because Barnsley is so stacked with money that they don't need an extra $1 million apparently. Because if they got an extra 1.5, apparently they could have got another Daryl DK because they could have ended up with two of them.
And then I had some sweet spot
for transfers, 1.5, 2 million, right?
I had some, and then some guy told me that the championship is more valuable, their teams, than the MLS. And then he shows me it's $1.2 billion is what the championship's worth. Okay, three Orlando cities. That's worth three Orlando cities. We're like a mid-level team, okay? We're not even in a high market, and we're worth three of us is – I'm just the amount of stupidity coming from that portion. I got a special shout out for not Barnsley. I'm done talking about them. I'm glad DK's back. The best tweet that summed it up for me was, hey, listen, we love DK. We want that guy to be sold. I want him to live up his dreams. I want him to do whatever he's got to do. But goodness, I'm so thankful it's not at Barnsley. Thank goodness, dude. I hate those people.
Do you think, I want you to do one of those like,
hate's a strong word, but it's accurate in this situation.
I want you to do one of those ancestry.com because with the name Brown, that'd be hilarious if you're from that far. That'd be so great. You do it, Barnsley, Yorkshire, England, Alex
mostly
Brown,
German,
the Browns.
I think.
Oh, I gotcha. But anyways, the way, I know some people, they have their weather and the wind and whatever and their way of playing, and I get it. I've seen CONCACAF games where if you have inferior talent, you try to counter or go long ball and all that stuff, but man, that they look like a bunch of seals at the circus. It was just headers and headers and that sky ball, I mean, what is that? They kick it right in the air. They were down a goal, like about to miss from the play, get eliminated from the playoffs, and you got people kicking it above their heads backwards. Like, anybody put the ground down, put the ball on the ground and pass it on the ground. So that begs the question: when Daryl Dike comes back, is this like a bicycle? You just don't forget. Can he remember how to play a ball on the ground, use his feet, or is he going to have a little bit of a regression and we have to like detox or like put him in this machine and get him back to watch Cruyff videos, back to using his feet and playing real football again? What do you guys think? Do you think DK is going to have a smooth transition back to playing soccer with the ball on the ground?
He's foaming at the mouth, in my opinion. He is foaming at the mouth to get back and play some real football or soccer or whatever the English decide to determine it to be. And whatever generation it is, because they change it every 50 to 100 years about. So, but anyways, Barnsley, DK, I don't think he has any problems. I don't think he's going to have any problems adapting to it, to getting back. That's just me personally. I think he'll be right back. That's if we see him play at all. He might be gone June 10th. I mean, to be honest, you really never know. They might already have a deal really lined up. It could be any day, honestly. I don't see, like you said, Eddie, I don't see him staying much longer. I don't see him lasting with us through the summer window. Hopefully we have a replacement plan, but it'll be sad, but I'm just glad it won't be. I'm glad it won't be the old Barnsley.
And Poppy, I know, Tesho is written in a permanent marker, but he'd understand if DK, they already got a deal in the books. He'd understand if you let him come off the bench for a couple of games for DK, like a farewell tribute, kind of, honor guard, let DK start. Cleon's like, nope, it's not happening. He started last year over Tesho, Cleon, to be fair.
Well, it ain't happening, bro.
We'll see.
Hopefully we'll see. What they say, death, taxes, and Tesho.
That's it, DTT. I can't wait to see Joey Desar and Andres Perea come in for Mauricio Pereira and Nani. Right. And then they leave Tesho in and then Pato and DK come off the bench and Tesho's still in the match. I could just see that.
Do you guys see any
Vandewater too?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Vandewater.
Do you guys see any potential changes moving forward? Maybe you think Vandewater, maybe he's supplanting Mueller. You think maybe that's had to do with Mueller's downfall, the pressure breathing down his neck? You guys, that's the main one that I would see. What do you guys think?
I don't think it's pressure. I don't think it's pressure at all. Cause I mean, if anything, that'll make him try too hard. If anything, if he felt like somebody was coming for his job, you would think that he'll be trying to do too much.
Isn't that what he's kind of, you don't see that?
That's no, all I see. Not at all. He's not even taking shots.
But I feel like he's trying to take people on. I think the league saw he was good last year. He was borderline best 11 winger last year up there with Jordan Morris and outperformed him in some metrics or whatever. So I think they notice it. And I think it's a combination of just a lack of fluidity offensively, lack of threats. And I think he's getting extra attention. And I think he's pressing too hard and trying too hard. I think Vandewater's that kind of, he's swaggy. He's kind of alpha. He's in there like, the kind of guy he seems to me is like, I could see Mueller take a shot in training and Vandewater be like, that's nothing. And then one up him, you know what I mean? And then, make someone or chip someone. Like, I can see that happening. And maybe our cash is pressing a little bit. I don't know, man.
No, that's not it, man. Like, if it's one thing about Chris Mueller, from the time he's been here, that dude's aggressive. And even when he we were talking about earlier, talking about him thinking of too much and making wrong decisions, he's done that before, but he'll make the wrong aggressive decision. You know what I mean? And turn the ball over. He's not really trying to even get shots off. And that's not, you can't put that all to, I mean, that field's humongous, bro. That field's humongous. You can't just take a dude straight out the game and to where you're not even getting shots off for four or five matches. And you're talking about four or five different teams. Like it's him. I don't know. And when a dude's not shooting, that's confidence, bro. Like something, it's like a confidence hit or something. And you know what it was like? Almost like when, I think Dom, I hate to keep bringing him up, but like when Dom went through his little thing for a while, he was like scared to shoot. Because he was bricking things. it's almost like that. But I mean, he hasn't even missed. He's taken four shots. He hasn't had any on target. I don't see what. I don't know what's going on.
And those four shots were in the first two matches, right?
Yeah, and I just I don't understand what's going on to where it's to the point to where he's not even attempting shots.
So, yeah. So for you, it's for me, Vander Vaughter, Nani, and it need to be the starters on the wings.
Oh,
Van, yeah, Alex, you've been saying it before. The guy even left, you know, Holland. That he was you don't get a TAM guy like that. Bring him over to tell him to ride, you know, to ride the bench, right?
No, I mean, he's a value pickup at his salary. So that means a value pickup. He's making already 600 grand, right? And a value pickup to me means that he should be making probably a lot more. Not a lot more, but a good chunk more, you know? So the guy's a talent. If his salary doesn't tell you that, if how long we've pursued him alone doesn't tell you that. I mean, the guy, we've been after that guy for what, 18 months. Mm. We've been trying to get that guy. So that's just how long we've known about it. You know what I mean? Like the fans, this is Orlando City. He's been linked to us since basically Muzzi and Ricardo started doing their thing. You know, this is one of their top guys. So yeah, I mean, they brought him in to start. Will Poppy start him? I think a lot of what Poppy's been doing is like laying the groundwork that, you know, this is a team, you know, because he is kind of the guy that may be able to come in and just immediately start dominating and kind of get carried away, start floating away, thinking he's better than everybody else. So, you know, that might be part of what Poppy's doing, trying to instill that team mantra into what he's all about. But I'm excited about Sylvester.
I personally, I think it's just, I've said it before, I feel like Oscar is a loyal guy, I think. And like guys that put in work for him, I feel like he just has their back, and you know, just because the new hot thing comes in doesn't mean he's just gonna toss you to the side. And I think that goes for guys like Tesho. It goes for guys like Chris. And I don't know, man. I don't know. I think he could just keep. I mean, you're seeing it with you know, even guys like Ayas and Alvarado and, you know, Vanderwater. Just because a guy comes in doesn't mean he's just going to toss you. And I think his loyalty, I mean, we are winning. So he's like, you know, he's like, well, I'll keep riding him and until he gets back on track, because we're not losing games. You know what I mean? So I can see him possibly just trying to hold it out for as long as he can, as long as we're still winning games. I think if we start catching L's, then you might see a change soon.
I also feel like Vander Vaughter, he's making an impact similar to where DK made an impact last year during the tournament, where like it was so glaringly obvious that DK needed to be starting over Tesho that it happened. Like Poppy wasn't even messing around. You know what I mean? So at this point, it's, you know, Vander Vaughter comes in for what, 20 minutes and gets two, three shots up. That's pretty much what Mueller has the whole season. You know what I mean? One of them is a goal. I mean,
and that's what Mueller used to be doing. Yeah. I'm telling, even before last season, like if there was one thing Chris Mueller was going to do, it was going to, and no matter how many times, how many minutes he got, he was going to get shots up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And right now he's an extra defensive midfielder out there, bro. And Poppy, Poppy is, As far as his early season has gone, he seems to be valuing defense, even for his attackers. He's valuing defense above all else at all costs.
Yeah.
Good. And that's, I feel like that's the case with Tesho. Like Tesho is integral to that press. He is. And it might not matter who's in front of him. He might just keep that guy there, man. He might just keep Tesho there. He might, because, you know, Pato comes back. I mean, I guess, or Daryl, he'll probably switch Tesho out just because their names are kind of, the stature's kind of that high. Daryl, it wouldn't have been, but at this point, DK is a name brand, at least here in the United States. So, I mean, there's a certain point to where it's like Nani, you know what I mean? If Nani's not injured, Nani's going to start.
Yeah.
Regardless of how he's been playing, he's going to start. Mm-hmm. Pato, possibly he might be that. He might be like that too. I don't, you know, he hasn't been here long enough for us to know for sure, but, you know, he's that type of talent to where, you know, he could possibly walk back in too. But I mean, with all these guys coming back, I have no idea how he's going to set that up. because he's so tied to Chris and he's so tied to Tesho. So I don't know how he's gonna get these guys back and fit these guys back into the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at the what Oscar's done, is he built a culture, a buy-in. Everybody works hard for each other. So when you got a guy who buys in and works hard, does what he's told, and puts in extra effort, if you don't reward them and you go give it to a guy who maybe but lacked a little fitness, like Ayas, right? You go give it to someone who just showed up, like Van der Vaart, right? Then it could give the appearance that those are negotiable. I don't have to buy in. I don't have to track back. Look, this guy just got here. He didn't put the work I did. Where's my reward? It's a tough balance. That's why I said at the beginning of the year, Bobby is going to have to be a team MVP. How do he's going to balance all these players? And some of it's been a little easier because of injuries, but even then it's still been difficult. So some of these coaches, if you get in the doghouse, I think Ayas is in the doghouse right now. Why isn't he playing? Well, we're down. Why isn't he coming in? He's in the doghouse. The fitness has been an issue. Maybe they viewed it as an issue of commitment and buy-in, and he's not going to reward that with minutes. And the coaches are like that. They get butthurt. You don't buy in. We've seen it with Adrian Heath. We'll still see it with him. We see it with other coaches, etc. We've seen it with Bielsa, with everybody. They do the same thing. If someone doesn't quite buy in or doesn't do what you think, then they get put in a doghouse. This is Ayas's, Cleon called it a bit ago. This is turning into a Brian Rocha situation where the guy didn't look like he was in great shape, but when he came in, he produced. And Ayas is a guy who's historically minutes per 90 minutes is a guy who scores goals. So hopefully in this break, we get healthy and some people get out of the doghouse and we see some extra attacking.
Yep. Well, we're well over an hour, I think, at this point. I don't even know when we started, but nothing as usual. You get the three of us together. That's
it. Yeah, we got a break. Yeah, you got a break coming up.
We do have a couple weeks off. We'll get into our shout out segment. I'll start because goodness knows you guys always scare me for this one. It's like a box of chocolates because you do not know what you're going to get with this one. So, I'll start. I'm going to shout out to all my non-Barnsley English folk that I have friends with. Listen, I know I've said some mean things about England lately. Just please know I concentrate it only to a few people in Barnsley. I don't really mean most of it. But I love we're really cool with the UK population over there, especially Orlando City fans. I've met some UK fans that have sat behind me in 2016, and I've actually hung out with him twice now since then. He comes over, sees the game, got him to flip the coin a couple years ago. But anyways, I love all y'all, except for the 6 or 7 Barnsley idiots that somehow still think that they just denied $2 million buy clause. But everybody else, just know that I'm not, it's no offense, hopefully, to you guys taken. All shout right. out to y'all.
Okay. Well, I'll go next. So yeah, all right. UK, we love you, except for the handful. Positive shout out first, Orlando Pride. I went to see them. Girls are balling, man. That midfield, Marissa, and then Gundy, man, those girls, woof. Those girls are tough. Morgan was quality. The team is organized. Go Pride. Undefeated, top of the table. Shout out to the ladies. And then my second shout out is to the condescending English football fan. And lately it's been Barnsley fans, right? Like we don't know like what team your grandfather played on or what club, whatever, 1922 or 1910, or I don't know, how old the Queen was when Barnsley was in the Premier League the last time, or, I don't know. Okay. You don't know either. You weren't alive when they're in the Premier League, most likely anyways. And to be honest, at this rate, we're not buying DK, you probably won't be alive the next time they get to the Premier League either. So, I don't want to hear condescension. We call it soccer. Guess what? So did you. Okay, we could call it football too. Okay, and we know how to add. I don't care what your CEO says. It's ridiculous to think your CEO wasn't you know just giving a pitch to keep you guys on the hook. You guys took it. You guys were marks. That's what it's called, being a mark. He said, "Oh, it'll be right in line with our normal fees." And you guys hook, line, and sinker, to use an American phrase. You guys were marks, okay? And that wasn't going to happen. We tried to tell you, and instead of just having a rational conversation, you insulted us and said us Yanks don't know what we're talking about. But hey, you know what? This time, like in World War II, these Yanks got it right. And we won this one. This, you know, and ultimately DK will be better off being on a with a fan base maybe that could appreciate him a little bit more. So.
What did we figure out, Eddie, before the show? It was they've been promoted one time in Premier League history, and then they got immediately relegated, which means they have never in the history of English football been a top 15 squad ever.
Yeah. And the year before the coach, the one who just beat us, Gerhard Struber, they said in the broadcast that they were about to go down to, you know, to the next whatever League One League or whatever one. It is. Yeah, they were going to go down to League One if Gerhard Struber didn't come in. And he said, "Oh, forget that league," and went to MLS. So I can't wait to this coach to leave and join. Maybe he could, you know, he could coach Minnesota United or something. It's this new Ooh. Guy. And
another 2 foot. And he just slipped it in there.
Yeah, thanks for catching that one. And who knows? Maybe he'll get tired of that league and go to a league that's growing and come over to MLS. But you guys were you know, look, you just don't forget your place and relax. And we're American fans. We're not just going to be taking. We're just not taking a condescension anymore. You're not. And you know what? I'll start taking it again once England wins the World Cup, you know?
Yeah, that'll happen. Maybe.
Maybe Never. A Euro. We'll give you that. Maybe.
All right, Cleon, let's hear it. Shout out.
Let me see. I ain't got much to shout out. Nothing big happened since the last time we've been here. But I'd like to shout out. COVID's been hard. It's been a lot of people out of work, things like that. A lot of people got laid off, but some people got fired. So this is a shout out to all you. I'm not going to say all you folks that got fired. I'm going to say this shout out to one particular folk that got fired. Mr. Paul McDonough.
Oh! I was like, where are you going with this?
Mr. Paul McDonough.
Ooh. Mm-mm-mm-mm. I forgot about that.
Paul McDonough. I don't know who this shadow should be. I don't know which one is you worse. I don't know which one of you is worse, you or whoever the fool that hired you. Because we told everybody, you talk about delusional Barnsley fans? How about all the delusional Inter Miami fans that sat there and tried to argue with all of us Orlando City fans that knew exactly what you were getting when you got it. And you said, "Oh, we're going to be the biggest club here. We're going to be an international club. So we're going to hire Paul McDonough."
Or did they hire Paul McDonough?
Paul McDonough. Oh, that shout out was coming. Trust that.
They're best players for best weeks. You got to give them
so,
that.
So this shout out for all the people, all the future unemployed. Ambrose. Rex Shay. James O'Connor.
Adrian.
Adrian Heath.
One point per game so far. Ooh, Minnesota.
You better win that next one, bro. Because, bro, the list goes on and on and on. Special shout out to a few kings out here. I'm all about getting your bag, all you kings. It ain't about all about the ladies, fellas. Sometimes the king got to snatch their bag. So, Gonzalo Higuain, congrats, king, for snatching that bag. Pizarro, congrats, king, snatching that bag. Carranza, congrats, king, for snatching that bag. Pellegrini, congrats, king, for snatching that bag. And then getting fired for snatching that bag. took that bag right back to Argentina with him.
Good exchange rate.
Matuidi. Congrats, yeah. King, for snatching that bag. Apparently another DP, Andres Reyes, whoever he is, nobody even knows him. But congrats, King, for snatching that bag.
He's a guy Don Dwyer hit in the throat. That's all I remember.
Yeah. Gonzalez Perez, congrats, King, for snatching that bag. All these DPs in a 3-DP league. Paul McDonough. Shame. And shame on you, David Beckham, for hiring him. Everybody knew it was coming. Everybody knew it was going to happen. You hire trash, you get trash. My mama told me a long time ago, you say you lay down with dogs, you get fleas. And that's exactly what you got. So, sorry for you.
Thanks for listening to the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Until next time, be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook and at OrlandoLionsDen.com.